something new for the Health Report. With the raging success of CoronaCast and with my co-host Tegan Taylor being critical to that success, what you may not have discovered yet is Tegan's day job as a health reporter for the ABC's Science Unit. So Tegan's going to become a regular part of the Health Report, aren't you, Tegan?
I sure am, if you'll keep having me back.
Oh, well, it just depends on how you perform, really. You know, we'll just see. So you're going to be doing regular stories and also wrangling feedback from the audience, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So you've been looking at the now well-recognised symptom of COVID-19, the loss or change in taste and smell.
That's right. So yeah, pretty early in the pandemic, we started hearing reports that loss of smell and taste were associated with COVID-19, and kind of took a bit of time for that to be really established as yes, this is definitely a symptom and it seems to be quite a hallmark of COVID-19. And so there's a new study by a global team that's trying to take a closer look at this and understand it better. It's a global consortium that's part of this, but one of the researchers is here in Australia at the University of Queensland, and they're still looking for participants, but I managed to speak to one of these researchers about what they know so far, and they actually know quite a bit so
really?
Far.
You better just take us through what you know, because you talk about these swabs for COVID-19 being a sort of brain scrape, but in fact, when it comes to smelling, that's not too far from the truth.
Right, yeah. Smell is really, you've basically got a direct line into your brain from the part of your body that smells, which unsurprisingly is in behind your nose. So you've got these mucous membranes in there, which as you breathe in, this is if you're normal and healthy and don't have COVID, the air passes over those mucous membranes and volatile chemicals in those dissolve into your mucus, which is a lovely thought. And then they're directly sort of neurons take that into your brain and help you navigate the world around you with the power of your nose. And so there's this neuron pathway straight through there, whereas as opposed to taste, which has your taste buds as sort of an intermediary there and other senses that you have, there's a bit more kind of processing that happens before it gets to your brain. And so, yeah, that's how it functions normally. But obviously with COVID, there's something that's breaking down along the way.
And they're doing the study.
That's right. So one thing that we've noticed, or we, the scientists who have studied this, are noticing that it's different to the sort of smell loss that you get when you have a normal head cold or the flu, which is more of a mechanical loss of smell. Your nose is blocked. You can't have that airflow through, which I just said before, and so you can't pick up those smells and tastes. And basically, once your nose clears, then your smell comes back. But this unusual thing with COVID is that you can lose your sense of smell before you get symptoms. It can persist long after symptoms have cleared. It doesn't seem to be directly related to the severity of the disease that you get. And so what they're saying is that...
And just before you go on, is the loss of taste because you've lost your sense of smell, or is there a separate effect on the tongue?
I think it could be both, but I think we didn't talk about that in detail, but it definitely has to do with the nerves in your nose, which talk to your brain.
Right.
And what they're thinking is that it's probably causing death of those olfactory neurons, those nerves that are sending smell signals to the brain. And because we're talking about potential neuron death, that's why it doesn't just come back when your nose clears. Those cells actually, those neurons have to repair or regenerate. And the lag time seems to really vary among patients. But one of the patients in the study, it's been 4 months and she still hasn't got her sense of smell back.
4 months. And that's an Australian patient.
No, this woman's based in Spain. So they're looking for Australian people because at the moment they've had 40,000 odd people fill out the survey, but only 50 people in Australia. So they're really looking to see what the case is here.
So this therefore, and it makes sense, this therefore is the virus enters via your respiratory tract through your nose often, and therefore directly through your nose, it's infecting the smell system.
Yeah, that seems to be the case, which is maybe unexpected because other respiratory viruses don't seem to have this effect. And so it is interesting, and it's obviously got an impact on the quality of life for people. We know that smell loss and taste loss can be linked to depression, but also when people are recovering, if you're recovering from an infection, COVID-19 infection, and your smell and taste hasn't come back, it might be hard for you to have enough appetite to eat and eat nourishing food that's going to help your body repair.
And they think this could be a way of testing for COVID-19?
Right. So, I mean, there could be a silver lining here. So,
in one's schnoz.
Exactly, lining of the nose. So, at the moment, you know, there's really invasive ways to test for COVID-19. Like you say, the brain tickle is shoving that swab up your nose, which you and I have both had and know that it is unpleasant. And then other places they might do a temperature check. So, but like fever is not actually that reliable of a symptom. A, not everyone who has COVID has a fever, and B, lots of diseases cause fever, but comparatively few cause smell loss. So it might be, Norman, that you might be going to a premises and want to go inside and you have to do a sniff test before you go inside. It might be a more reliable way of screening for COVID than a temperature check.
Knowing the way bars work, that could be really unpleasant. But not everybody, and you might have said this at the beginning, what's the prevalence of loss of taste and smell in COVID-19 infection? Do they have any sense of that? Like 40%, 20%?
The researcher that I spoke to said it was about 80%. I haven't seen his data, 80. But that seems really high to me. I would love to go back and check that out. And also, in addition to this really high prevalence, maybe the numbers, I'm not sure, I need to double check that, but also the severity of smell loss is a lot more pronounced. So someone with a cold or flu might describe their smell loss as being a 5 out of 10, if 10 is their normal amount of smelling that they can do. But people with COVID are rating their sense of smell as less than 3 out of 10.
Gosh.
Compared to normal. So yeah, very pronounced loss of smell.
And there could be an altered sense of taste and smell. So it's not just that it goes, it could be that you're just not smelling things the way you used to.
Yeah, smell is super complex. There's, you know, you have your tongue with sort of the five tastes, and depending on which way you look at it, the sweet, salty, umami and whatnot. But in your nose, there's hundreds of different types of smell receptors that all send different types of signals. So it's a much more complex form. And you could totally imagine that if you're losing some of those neurons, it's definitely going to alter the bouquet that you're receiving.
Well, Tegan, I think we'll have you back. But before you go, we're going to have a regular feedback section, aren't we? Because that's been one of the weaknesses of the health report. We haven't taken enough notice of the feedback that we get.
Yeah, Norman, I'm a sticky beak and I want to know what people's thoughts are on the show. I want to know their questions. I want to know if anyone has had their life saved by the health report, because we know that we have
millions
had that feedback
of them.
In the past.
Millions of them.
So, yeah, folks, chuck us your questions. I'm going to put them at Norman to keep him on his toes. And the way to do that is to send your feedback to healthreport_rn@abc.net.au.
And we'll have that address on our website. Tegan, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks for having me.
That's the ABC Science's health reporter and my co-host on the Coronacast, Tegan Taylor.